In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, Zoe speaks with Vitor Pereira, co-founder and director of Zoom Smart Cities. Zoe and Vitor discuss his background in journalism and his interest in technology and innovation, and how being involved in tourism sparked his interest in the smart community space. Vitor explains why the ability to reflect and receive criticism is crucial for any smart city, and gives the example of Amsterdam's rebrand over the last 10 years. He goes on to tell us how Portugal is embracing smart concepts and some of the projects he's involved in, including Zoom Smart Cities. Vitor and Zoe then discuss the need to cut through the hype and find the substance in a noisy and saturated smart city market, as well as why we need to break down silos in order to tackle the urgent and important decisions humanity is facing right now. They finish their conversation discussing the emerging trends of ethics and transparency when it comes to technology, as well as why getting back to the heart and soul of the city is always about humans. Now, a quick warning, there are a few audio glitches in this episode, but it's very listenable overall. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play with smart communities. The future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Victor. How are you?
Hi, Zoe. Good.
Excellent to hear. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us about your background and what you're passionate about?
Yeah, I've been a journalist for more than 20 years. I always did something more than journalism and radio. I was always interested with technology. With 11 years old, I got my first computer, ZX Spectrum, like a very, very interesting computer. Everyone knows about it in that age. So I started programming some games and reselling the games all over the world also. And basically, I can say I started my first startup with 11 years in that time. But my mom didn't like very much the idea. So I started putting aside those ideas and tried to learn a bit more about technologies and almost learn to use virtually in every design and programming tool. And from then on, I began to do more communication projects integrated in a global strategy, doing the design, preparing the strategy, and of course, delivering the final result, mainly directed to regions and cities until it became incompatible with the journalism. And I decided to embrace different projects in the communication agency, specifically directed to innovation and disruption of concepts, products, and services. Basically, we launched the first applications of augmented reality in Portugal in 2009. The first cities with interactive guides, tourism interactive guides on the mobile phone, the first newspapers with magazines, with applications, etc. So since then, I've been working a little bit crossing technology with a human part of ourselves it's important to not give all of us to the technology right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, really interesting background.
Yeah, maybe it's interesting for some people, but actually for me, it's been a roller coaster because you have to shift from what is the creative momentum of the design or how do you create content for a specific message, specific project, and also how you engage with all the agents involved in this process, which sometimes you have to be very, very flexible to understand what other people are thinking about specific issue. Normally, a technology-driven mentality only sees the bits, zeros, and codes, and they don't take away the values like human values, like people being in love or people friendship or whatever. So they strip off the sentimental part of the process. So basically, I do a matchmaking with the two sides of the story. Sometimes even in a city, you can see that people in the same team, they are not talking the same language. So they need some kind of interpreter for this project. So basically, that's challenging also for me.
Yeah, I fully appreciate that too. What sparked your interest in this smart cities or smart community space?
what I told you before, from that part of starting creating projects for tourism and cities to smart cities was very small step. I started to actively participate in events, being invited to go to events, speak in events, show what I was doing here in some cities in Portugal. And I started becoming connected with some international partners from other cities, started writing content, own thoughts, new ideas, some philosophy. I believe they start considering me a little bit romantic of the cities because I put a lot of passion and try to describe what is happening in the city, not just like a news corporation media or something that they are describing the mainstream events in the city. But I actually totally got lost in cities and start showing what normal people, local people were thinking about their own city. And sometimes you get big surprises. And that's when I decided to talk a little bit more about circular economy, citizen engagement, placemaking. You know, these things that right now are very, very popular and mainstream. But in 2012, 2013, no one was talking about it. Everyone was just pulling into smart cities based on technology. So Amsterdam, Barcelona, for example, there was a big jump ahead with the tourism part in Barcelona with the citizen engagement and circular economy in Amsterdam, for example. And the opportunity was to create an international event here in Portugal that was the first one crossing smart cities with the smart tourism topics. So that's when smart travel became a big event here for smart tourism, which was being spread the messages for the tourism sector a little bit aside from the smart cities. But basically what the events show is that, well, we cannot take tourism from the city topics. So it actually is one of the most important components. And that's why Barcelona that year, for example, was not paying attention to tourism in 2015. There was a change in the city council. The mayor, actual mayor, lost elections because of the tourism, over tourism and wild tourism and so on. All the problems we know right now, they are happening around the world. So it was been a constant to talk about cities. I talk more about cities than the smart cities. Actually, I believe any city is smart. So as soon as it's a city, doesn't matter if it's smart or stupid. Actually, cities are what should matter most.
So what is a smart city to you?
Well, that's the basic question, right? Yes, like I said, any city or community can be smart and stupid at the same time, simultaneously. And the definition for one or another, I believe it comes from a variety of sources with different interests. So we can observe that something is not right in some place, but for that community, in that place, in that moment, that thing happening is very smart and amazing, and will become actually uncomfortable if someone criticizes it or says, this is not smart. I believe no one likes to be criticized, and that's what's happening right now in the cities, is that most of them are doing some crazy, stupid things, and they are actually calling themselves smart cities. And basically, I'm not the one who's going to tell them, this is a little bit stupid, but you'll figure it out by yourself. So my ultimate smart city definition will be one. You will be the one who has the ability to criticize itself, sees itself with all imperfections, and humble to accept different point of views and opinions. There are not many, actually, in the world that can do this auto-criticism and laugh with their own mistakes, exactly, and trying to do different and not going with all these mainstream topics about the smart cities that we all know about it. But I think this definition should be, for me, is the one who adapts more to a smart city, an intelligent city, or at least a city.
I like that. Kind of like a humble city that can make fun of itself.
Yeah, can be humble city. I always give the example of Amsterdam. It's one of my favorite cities. And also because they are Dutch, they have a very nice, very interesting sense of humor. And they are the first ones having fun or making fun of themselves. Sometimes it's hard for them to also to do that, but actually they do better than the rest. So when Amsterdam was a little bit dark city, you know, Amsterdam is not a good example 10 years ago for the rest of the cities. because of all the reasons we know the reasons why, because there was a lot of prostitution, there was a lot of parties, there was a lot of drugs, there was a lot of these dark topics that all the cities want to get away from it. They don't want to be connected with it, and that's something. So Amsterdam did something very, very interesting that time. They changed the branding. They totally changed the branding, and they accept what they are. It's their DNA. We are this city like this, you know. So what can we do? We're not going to change to a new city. And we're made of people that embrace the city as it is. So let's start a party and have a good time. So this is something I believe Amsterdam did well. And now is the track of the smart cities, the pioneer for a lot of things. But we must not forget that it was not always like that. And the problem is still there, of course.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that this smart city or smart community concept is so important?
It has been a concept growing for 10 years, or at least 10 years it's become growing a little bit more and become right now mainstream. There's a mainstream agenda, it seems, 4 years since now. It has to be important, of course, for the future cities and communities. I believe the most important thing about is that a lot of information and content has been delivered for the mass population. So it's become mainstream topic, so population gets information about it. So it's good to have an enlightened and informed public. And what I feel more important also is that besides citizens, the public decision makers, they need also to know a little bit more about what's happening in the world, what's happening with innovation around the world, so they can choose the best solutions and the best options for their future and their own community. So we can understand, we know that there's an important role of the technology in the future and in the present, of course. All the cities are being flooded with a new technology. That's a natural process. It didn't start with the smart city concept. It started with inventing the wheel since the beginning of time. So technology will always be the tool to improve our society. And what I see important for this concept today is that it brought not only the technology side, but people start talking about the human side, the other topics that were a little bit abstracted from the conversation. So right now, I think we have a good platform to cross different sides of the cities and different sides and different aspects of the communities. So this is important because the debate and discussion of these topics brings enlightenment and at least brings information, and everyone can take their own ideas and have their own conclusions.
Mm-hmm. How do you think that Portugal is currently embracing this concept?
Like the rest of the world, some things are being well done. Others, I think, bring some bad results in the future, especially for the absence of knowledge, information, and expertise, like I mentioned. So I believe that this concept of a smart city obviously has an origin and a connection to the world of technology and digitalization of services and process. So Portugal is part of the world, part of Europe, and is doing some things that everyone else is doing. But it has the same problems, the lack of financial and human resources, the low predictability of the projects and the poor return. Sometimes they invest a lot of money, they invest a lot of resources, but the results don't come. Overall, I think there's a good side and a bad side in every city in the world and also in Portugal. I believe we have an advantage is that we are geographically and also we have a good connection with all different parts of the world. We are very engaged with all the countries, whatever, are from Europe, America, North America, South America, Africa, and Asia. So I believe we can drink a little bit of the experience of these countries without having the fear that we should go more to Asia side, we should go to more to America side or something like that. I mean, we have a role of mediators of what's happening right now with the society. But overall experience here in Portugal, the cities, I believe they are taking important steps to ensure that the smart city takes roots and eliminates a number of factors that limit the progress, framing transversal solutions. But I also see problems in some cities, like not only in Portugal, or in general cities, but here, for example, the big cities, the major capital cities, they live in this also apparent schizophrenia and bipolarity that is not good for the smart cities concept, which we all understand that we cannot do the stupid thing for one side and the smart city for the other side. It has to be a balance. And you cannot do it like in the same strategy. So I think there's some things that need to be corrected or at least taken care of. It takes time. So I believe we'll have to wait a little bit more to get the results and to get the right track on this.
Mm. What are some of the projects and things that you're currently working on?
Well, at the moment, I'm involved not only in events, but like I did in the communication agency I founded some years ago. Now I do my own consultancy, of course, and I support cities and regions working in the early stage of projects. And even if they have a deployed project for smart cities, I work with them for the roadmaps and strategic plan, actually bring everything together in the same path, breaking down the silos, especially inside silos, inside the city silos, and also working with the companies, which they have their own silos also. Big corporations also work even worse than cities. So sometimes we have corporations trying to sell smart city solutions, and they even do worse than the cities itself. So it can be a little bit complicated to put all these things together. So I do what is called strategic thinking and designing what could be the exit to deploy a good project for the future of the community, the future of the cities. Spend most of the time spending a lot of energy creating, idealizing the design, draw and execute things that sometimes we don't even know if they are going to work, but at least most of them are unique. They are born on creativity and they will do something different, which is the first stop to do a good project. I'm working, for example, with cities that they try to apply in their own community some solutions that are specifically created for big cities or big metropolis. That's not a good start. So basically, we try to convince and create their own project and their own solutions without spending so much money, without losing so much time, and basically doing themselves their own projects. Basically, that's what I'm doing right now. And of course, that's because I forgot all the part of related with association we created globally. We try to engage some people that I call them heroes, because sometimes we don't know nothing about them, but they are working very, very deep in the core of the projects. It's like a group of people that are working to bring awareness and bring enlightenment and bring projects, real projects for the cities and for the communities all over the world. So this is something that made me create this association to promote their work and bring some good expertise to cities and communities that can trust independent association to do that. So it's called Zoom Global Smart City Association. And basically, we promote our members in an individual role, not companies, not cities. Now it's like individual association. So basically, it's like this: what we're doing right now, spreading the word of human values and also ethical and transparency projects in the smart cities arena.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, Zoom Smart Cities.
Well, Zoom Smart Cities, it started as an event. It was the Design Smart Travel in 2014. I started the event here in 2016 with other partners in Lisbon, in the capital city. But soon, not only people understand that, okay, this is not a normal event, actually, because the business model was not directed for events. It was directed for a strategy and a communication platform. So basically, we created an association with the inspiration of what we did, gathering people from all over the world making friendship and preparing ourselves to embrace some challenges. And sometimes it's hard to compete in this world where image, empty words or staging or something that can be powerful for marketing, it doesn't work and doesn't fit very well for the real results that we need for our future and we need for ourselves. So I believe that we need to be selective in the future about who are we going to put to work with our teams, because there's two ways to do this. One way is that we put the events as I lost the word now, but actually what I mean is that it's not a party, it's not a festival. This is important, not entertainment, you know. There's this side of smart cities that's becoming entertainment, and they have to put the most famous guy in the stage because this is like a festival. But that brings some part of communication and information, but it's not enough to create the real projects. So we have to divide the two layers of who's doing the entertainment and who's doing the real stuff in the cities. And sometimes they cross, get together, and that's good. But everyone needs to know what is their role.
Yeah, it's kind of the hype, cutting through the hype and the marketing and the branding and all that kind of stuff, and actually getting down into the real benefits for the community and the humans at the center, not just hiring the person that's the most entertaining.
Exactly. Yeah, the same person can do the same, do both things actually sometimes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but it's hard to kind of, you need to cut through the hype and work out what the substance is, I suppose. So it doesn't mean that there isn't substance with people that are entertaining, but actually asking the right questions to find that substance is really important and pretty difficult to do when there's a, noisy, saturated market.
Yes, exactly.
So you talked a little bit about breaking down silos before. So I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this next question, which is, how do you think we can better integrate across the different disciplines, governments, industries, within organizations, as well as different organizations getting together?
Mm-hmm. One of the problems we face today, in my opinion, has to do with making urgent and important for the future. It seems increasingly difficult to make these decisions because often the fear of not being understood or accepted compels to some kind of calculation or some kinds of hesitations. And technology through data and artificial intelligence is serving as a scapegoat to support such decisions. So I believe one of the problems we have is that this can be true. If we are going to have computers to decide everything, then we probably don't need politicians anymore. We don't need leaders who risk deciding, who take courageously ideologies or policies, who assume ideology and policies, and assume eventual errors. That's what makes humans the error, actually. Is sometimes we are talking about human smart cities, and we try to put technology in the human smart city to avoid some errors. Actually, it's impossible to have a human smart city with errors. So perhaps one of the things that we are experiencing right now in the government and these industries is that politicians are trying to give an idea to people that we are human, and then they actually want to include the things that are totally the opposite side. So what can we do about this? Basically, we need new leaderships. I believe one of the things that is missing right now in cities, in the communities, is leadership. Leadership and courage. Has some bad decisions that need to be taken right now to tackle climate change, to tackle poverty, to tackle affordable housing, to tackle unemployment, to tackle wild over tourism. There's a lot of things that they need to be decided right now immediately, and it will take courage to take this decision. Actually, some of these decisions can take the power from the people that will make the decision. Or in other words, if an elected mayor decides something for the future that will only happen in 20 or 30 years, but right now it will be a negative impact in the community, at least a political negative impact, they can lose elections right now. But actually, it was in a good measure, a good action, and a good decision to promote and to protect the future of future generations and the future of the sea. So politicians right now are very calculate what's the best time to do one decision or another, and we're afraid of losing power, afraid of losing elections. And this is creating a lot of problems for the cities, a lot of problems for the world. So I believe they can put the technology to do some decisions, but they will be like the scapegoat to not take responsibilities if something goes wrong, or assume the responsibilities if everything goes right. This is not ethical at all. So I believe there has to be some balance between the strategy, the tools, the decision, the leadership, the community. Everyone needs to be engaged in the decisions of the cities. Some cities are trying to do it with the participatory budget, so with the citizen engagement process. But if you look very close to this kind of things happening in these cases, you understand that's another thing to show in the media or to take a picture and show that we are doing it. But actually, they are deciding not very important things. They are deciding some things that are important for the community, of course, the street, a new park, something very, very important for the community itself, but not for the whole community and not definitely not for 20 years in the future, because no one wants to decide something for 20 years. Everyone wants to decide something on 20 years when the 20 years arrive, but we need to decide something right now. So in 20 years, we have the results. These decisions are not being taken, and this can take big costs for us, for our cities, and for our community. How do we integrate this? Yes, it has to be improved. We have to work a lot on the policy making and the politician side, of course, and the governmental side, and advocating and bringing awareness and try to show with authority. When I mean authority, it means supported knowledge and supported authority recognition and so on, so that people can assume that, okay, this, we have to look very serious to this because it's going to happen and we need to take a real hard decision. And then after that, strip off all the ideology and strip off all the politics interests and try to do what is best for the community and for the society.
Speaking of the future, let's talk about emerging trends. So what do you think the emerging trends are that people aren't talking about enough?
Right now, there's a lot of emerging trends. I talk about the algorithm 2 years ago. As say, in 2017, the algorithm was like something for the geeks and for the someone programming and developing. But actually, become in 2018 the hot topic. And right now is artificial intelligence and comes everything. And we have now the ethical related, so ethics related with algorithms, related with artificial intelligence. I believe the trends that are coming, they try to surf some waves. They create the waves first and then try to surf it to see how long, how far can we go with this trend, how far can we discuss this and so on. It has to be, or everything needs to be connected. So if the courage and leadership will be the next trend. Democracies are feeling and experiencing right now being challenged by a lot of factors. Everything stops in right now in political correctness. And what is the big gap between time and from what we should decide now to prepare the future, like I mentioned, and what we'll have in the future, because no one decided right, nothing now. So we have this idea that we can only discuss technology trends because it's an industry-driven topic and brings a lot of sponsorships, brings a lot of jobs, and brings a lot of things. But actually, there's a lot of human trends, and I specifically will mention one, which is in the core of our association, is in the core of what we feel for a long time. It's related with transparency and with also with the morals. With we can go further, okay? We can stop putting this these topics that no one likes to talk about, but actually they need to be included in the conversation, and they are included in the conversation. But they are, no, if you talk about love, you talk about other things. You don't talk about smart cities. Yes, if we talk about love, compassion, heart, soul, devolution of morals to the society, yes, we need to talk about this because that's what the city is about. And I think the trends, the topics related with happiness will decay a little bit. We see now, yesterday I read about something happening in Singapore, for example, which is considered a rich city, happy city, whatever. But it's increasing the number of suicides. It's increasing the number of people that commit suicides for the cost of living, the not having the proper resources to have a normal life and so on. So it will always have the dark side of the city's presence. And this is something that we need to live with and understand it so we can understand it and of course accept it. Otherwise, we will live in a bubble and we will live in something that is not real. These cities that think that they are 100% happy, 100% inspiring and so on, I believe they have a dark side also. So they are artificial cities for resuming. So we have to be a philosophical thinking. We have to have a romantic, idealist and dreamy, creative and even rebellious approach to the cities that will make the city improve itself, move forward, and disrupt some kind of things that are always in the same. It's just we do it. We always did like this. That's, if you start saying we always do like this, it's the first step to innovate because, let's do different. And this make different and do different, that's it only happens if you have someone with this mindset, with this chip, with this DNA. It doesn't happen with someone that's, okay, we do like this every time and I will do like this forever. Sometimes you need to break the rules and sometimes we need to break the standards and sometimes we need to disrupt what's happening. And the buzzword, I believe, that what we need to keep in the trend is city, and that will never disappear. We can put a lot of things in the middle, like the ones I mentioned. Right now is artificial intelligence, and the next year will be something related with the technology, some kind of things that they will invent. But at the end, everything will return to what makes us humans, what makes us persons, what makes us important for the world and for our community.
It's been so awesome to chat with you, Victor. Thanks so much for coming onto the podcast. You've brought such an interesting perspective and I really have enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed to hear you and to congratulate you about the work you're doing. I've been following you in the social media, listening to some podcasts of a lot of interesting people, more interesting than me, I'm sure. But actually, I believe this is one work that needs to be done also for people like you that knows how to connect and create and deliver the message.
Thanks so much. I'm one of the crazy people, right?
Well, I didn't want to go so far, I believe.
I really just have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
In a lot of ways, basically social media, Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. I have my own name, Vitor Pereira, and also through email, vitor@zoomsmartcities.com. You can find the information and Zoom Association also in that address.
Excellent. We'll put all the links in the show notes so people can click away and find you.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks again for coming onto the podcast. We'll have to have another conversation soon.
Yes, it will be a great pleasure to connect again and talk again with you.
Excellent. Thanks again and talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community or find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter @smartcompod. That's com with two M's.
If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears, so thank you in advance. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.